God bless you. God bless you, God. God bless you. This is Bishop Clark. Section B, we're going to begin at verse 14, and we may dip a little bit into chapter 12. We'll see where God takes us. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this study. Please feel free to ask any questions you have. There are no bad questions. All right. There really are no wrong answers. We're just seeking knowledge from the Word. And to be honest with you, there are people who have studied the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel for 40 plus years and still don't understand everything that is contained in these books. So we're in a good place. You know, we're just beginning our pilgrimage, as it were, our pioneering the frontier of Revelation. And hopefully, at the conclusion of our study, when we get to chapter 22 and complete it, what we'll find is we'll look back and we'll have, you know, sections that we want more clarification on, and we can study those sections. And, in any event, we have been exposed to the truth about end time, and according to Revelation itself, we are supernaturally and uniquely blessed. Amen. So, Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. Gracious Father, as we go into thy word, I pray that you will give us insight and blessing, Father, that you would hold the clock so we have enough time to really discuss and get into it, open our minds of understanding, our hearts to believe, and our spirits to soar. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. Now, we had just finished talking about the resurrection of the two witnesses, the proclamation of the gospel, a huge multitude of people repenting, and the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord are called off the earth. Which brings us to verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. I want to stop right there. You always want to pay attention when the Bible uses the word quickly. I want you to remember when we were back in grade school and back in elementary school, back in kindergarten, nursery school. I go that far back. I don't know if they even have nursery school anymore. They would teach you so much, and then they would give you a recess. It was a time you could go out and play and talk and laugh and kind of let your brain unswell from all the knowledge they try to cram into you, and then you could be ready to receive more. But when the Bible says something's coming quickly, it's saying there's no recess. There's no break time. So right after the ending of the second woe, the third woe begins. No time to take a deep breath. No time to exhale. Here it comes. Verse 15. And the seven angels sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign ever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which are and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. So worship breaks out in heaven. Verse 18. And the nations were angry, and their wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Let's just stop right there. Wow. So coming out of the second woe into the third woe is actually the judgment. Third woe is the judgment. And God is of course, anytime God Almighty, in all of his splendor and all of his greatness and all of the glory and all of his holiness and all of his majesty shows up, the four beasts will start to proclaim, and the 24 elders will fall to their face and worship him. That is standard operating procedure in the throne room of God. Okay? I know we all claim when we get to heaven we're going to dance and shout. No, we're going to hit our face before the great awesomeness of God. We're going to cry in thanksgiving that he was able to save and redeem us from our sin and from this world. Now, how long that's going to happen, I guess it really depends on how much God has forgiven and redeemed you from. I'm going to be on my face a while. I'm not going to even pretend with you. God has delivered me from and saved me out of and trusted and believed enough in me. Hallelujah. That I might be called a servant of God, a saint of the Most High. I'm going to be on my face a while. I'm not even going to play with you. I'm going to be in thanksgiving to God for a while. And when I say a while, it may be years on my face. Amen. So I'm ready. I'm ready to give God all my praise. Then in 18, he moves into the fact that he is judging the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. All of the dead are going to be re-resurrected for the judgment. All right? The Bible says it is accounted unto every man to die once, and then the judgment. After the judgment, what you have is the second death. That is the death that Jesus died for us in his complete separation and destruction and utter darkness away from the blessings of the Father, away from Christ, away from the Holy Spirit, complete destruction. And that is the death that Jesus died for us on the cross. Amen. And so here we have in 18, he is metering out, giving out judgment and rewards. All right, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's giving out just rewards. All right, in that day, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to get the hookup. Ain't nobody saving your place in line. There ain't no coupon for salvation. You will either have a relationship with God where you have confessed and been forgiven of your sin, or you'll be facing damnation and destruction. You know, too often we play with salvation. We play around with it. We make little jokes about it. We try to make people think it's not that big a deal. Well, we have arrived at the point in Revelation where salvation is the big deal. You either have it or you don't. Verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. That's the ark of the covenant. And there was lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. All right, so in the heavenly sanctuary, all right, remember we talked about there was a holy place and a most holy. Before Christ died on the cross for our sin, there was a veil that separated the holy from the most holy place. And what was the ritual that the priest on earth did as an echo or a foreshadow of what had to happen in heaven was on the Day of Atonement, they would go in with the basin of blood from the killed lamb, which was there to atone for their sins, and they would dip their hands in the blood, and they would sprinkle the blood on the veil that separated the holy place of God from the most holy. And then after that sprinkling, the high priest would go through the veil and he would receive of God the forgiveness for sins that he could then convey back to the people. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil in the temple here on earth was ripped from top to bottom. And it was ripped also in heaven, meaning that there was no more blockation that kept us from being able to enter fully into the presence of God. And so here in this text, what the Bible is doing is it's saying God is completely ready to reveal his complete glory, his complete majesty, his never before seen by human eye. One Bible writer wrote that in heaven there was a cloud of glory surrounding God. It says that only Lucifer was allowed to go through the cloud and speak to God, and then he would come out and he would give instructions to the angel as a governing cherub. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't have a lot of word on it, but I can see the pageantry and I can see how that might be the reason Lucifer has so much influence in heaven. So now the cloud is gone. The veil is ripped. And what we see is the Ark of the Testimony or the Ark of the Covenant. The three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments. It was a jar of manna, the food that sustained the children of Israel through their wilderness experience, and it was Aaron's rod that was able to bud a flower even though it had been cut off. And each of those things represents some things. And you know what? I'm not going to tell you what those things are. For extra credit, to go from an A to an A+, you look up and find out what is the spiritual meaning of the Ten Commandments, the jar of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded being inside of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, above the Ark of the Covenant, there were two cherubim angels, and their wings were stretched toward each other. And that area between, on top of the chest, the Ark of the Covenant, and between the wings of the angel was called the mercy seat. And that's where the glory of God would shine through. So here we have all of God's power and majesty now being seen in full grace and mercy shining through. And to us who are saved and the believers, it is a glorious spectacular event where we are covered in God's joy, covered in God's love, down on our faces, praising and worshiping God. But for the wicked, it is the consuming fire of God that is pouring past the mercy seat. And those thunderous voices are issuing cries of damnation. Depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me. I know your works. Depart from me. And what follows them is fire, earthquake, a shakening, a dropping off, a consuming them into the earth, and hail, giant balls of hail falling upon the wicked, falling upon this earth in destruction. And that is the third woe, judgment. Now, for us, it should be a good day. Amen. Reunited with our Father in heaven, being able to see Jesus, the nail prints in his hands and feet, the print of the crown of thorns, where he was pierced in the side, hallelujah, stripes on his back, all done that we might have life, that we might be saved, that we might be delivered, all done for us. Where it says, how dare we neglect such a great salvation? Hallelujah. You know, I thought about going into chapter 12, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to end the broadcast with some music today. I hope I can get it to work out. Continue reading. Our next broadcast will start on chapter 12. God bless you all. Take care.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has been. So let the church sing. Yeah, yeah. Let the church let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands, God has spoken. So let the church say amen. No. Thank you, Lord, God has spoken. So let the church say, church say, yeah, can I get a word? Oh, what the plans are?
I can't walk in.